Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you, everybody. If you would like to join us at by phone, give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I love this passage out of the book of Philippians, and it really ties into our theme this month about being a voice for the gospel of Jesus Christ, just speaking the good news, telling the story, sharing the story of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. There's power in that story. Yes. It's a story that really resonates deep within the hearts of people. Why? Because it's a story that speaks directly to the hearts of people. So simply use your voice to tell that story. Well, Paul was very thankful for the church at Philippi because they helped him tell that story. And here's what he had to say. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. What a great line. Partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That gospel message came into Philippi. It started touching people's hearts. They started joining in that story. They became a part of the gospel story, identified with Christ and his death, his burial, his resurrection. They became new creatures in Christ. They rejoiced over that, and they felt such deep joy within their hearts. They wanted to help Paul get that story to other people, and so they eagerly gave, they eagerly served, they eagerly did whatever they could to advance the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Paul counted them as partners in the gospel. And I thought, gosh, what a great partnership that is. You know, we have a lot of partnerships out there in life. We have marriage partnerships. We have business partnerships. We have partnerships with investments. We have all sorts of things. There's none that reaps more dividend eternally than a partnership in the gospel.
Yes, right.
And I just thank God for the partnership of Basic Gospel, the group that stands with us every month, every year, to advance the good news of Jesus Christ. There is a deep connection there. Why? Because we have a common purpose. We have a common cause that transcends every other cause on planet Earth. There's a lot of great causes out there, but none can compare to the gospel.
Right.
None can compare to the eternal benefits of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this partnership, when we stand together and say, let's get the good news of Jesus out to as many people as possible, there's this deep connection. And there's just this wonderful sense of joy. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's making his prayer with joy because of this partnership. And he goes on to say, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you all are partakers with me of grace. This gospel story, this gospel of God's grace, has saved each and every one of us individually, and then has tied us together as one called the body of Christ, called the church of Jesus Christ. So we're bound together. We belong to one another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. A family has been birthed through this gospel message. And so Paul was so joyful for this group in Philippi, that they were partakers with him in this grace, both in his imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. They stood as people that defended the gospel, that confirmed the good news. They lifted their voice. They became a voice to share this story with others as they supported Paul and as they opened their mouths and spoke the good news themselves.
And that is good news. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. If you're hearing the broadcast during the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we'd love for you to be a part of it at 844-322-2742. The lines are open right now, 844-322-2742. And in line with what Bob was talking about, if you've ever wanted to share the gospel but were afraid you wouldn't do it just exactly exactly right or possibly didn't know how to begin, well, we have a multi-CD teaching series that's designed just for you. It's called Be a Voice, and it's created to show you how to share the good news about Jesus Christ and be an ambassador for the gospel. And with your gift to Basic Gospel in the month of July, we're going to send you a copy of this excellent teaching series. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Make your donation today if you can and learn how you can be a voice for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net or make your gift by phone at 844-322-2742. If you live outside the U.S. or Canada, PayPal is the best way to donate to Basic Gospel. Well, guys, over the weekend, we had this call.
Yes, my husband is 75 and I'm 70. He's now suing me for divorce after 54 years, and he's in the early stages of dementia. And I'm at a loss. I just don't know what to do. Praying, of course, and reading his word, and now he's gotten an attorney, and that means I have to get one. And I'm just praying for it to all go away. How do I make it go away? Anyway, appreciate your prayers and anything that you might have to offer given the situation. And I enjoy your program very much. Thank you.
That touches your heart.
It does touch your heart. It's very sad, very sad story. And, you know, my heart certainly goes out to her, and she doesn't know what to do. She wants to do something so it'll just go away. It can go back to the way it was. And so there's difficulty in knowing exactly what to share with her. One, if your husband is going through early stages of dementia, you have to wonder, you have to ask the question, is the dementia, is it motivating the acts, you know, to get a lawyer, to file for a divorce, that sort of thing? Is things just going on in his head that he can't control, and he's just acting on that? And if that's the case, then I think, you know, as he has an attorney, you need to get one, but you need to get one that can really help analyze the situation. Yes. And it might be a good thing to connect with your pastor.
Yes.
And to say to your pastor, here's what's going on. Can you come and help mediate and help us talk through this one to another? Hopefully your husband's attorney recognizes what's going on as well. Hopefully he has some common sense. Hopefully he has a sense of compassion here, and he can be an advocate for you as well. But I think the first thing that I would encourage you to do is to go and sit down and talk with your pastor and see if he can be a voice of mediation between you and your husband, and can really talk through this. And maybe somebody like a pastor can talk some sense into your husband, so to speak, can help kind of get through some of that dementia-driven thinking and bring some clarity in the situation, at least for a time being.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do. That's what I would suggest you to do. And keep praying. Simply keep praying. But talk to your pastor and see how he can help.
Yeah, the prayer is not, please, Lord, make this go away. The prayer is, give me the wisdom I need to deal with this.
Yes.
The pastor is an excellent idea, and that'd be my first place.
Right. You know, and it's one of those things. This is where, you know, the wedding vows get tested, for better or worse. And this is a very difficult situation. And so how do I stay in there? How do I navigate this when my husband is saying he wants to get out, but I know there's probably something else driving that?
Yeah, no
how do
reason.
I stay in there? How do I... you know, how do I really solve this? How do I tap into the wisdom of God? And so Our hearts and prayers will be with you. If there's anything that we can do to help you, please let us know. But connect with your pastor. See if he can be an advocate for you and can be a voice of mediation between you and your husband.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. And we thank you for joining us. I'm Bob Davis, 844-322-2742. If you have the opportunity to join us live at during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time Hour, why, we would love for you to do that right now. 844-322-2742. And once again, guys, another call that came in over the weekend.
Hi, my name is Lori, and I have a question. There are many movements going on, allegedly, within the church, and one of them is called the New Apostolic Reformation. There's been a lot of criticism. There's other things called, you know, emergent churches, contemplative prayer. Basically, all of these movements bring in factors which are not considered biblical, and they have strange beliefs such as manifest sons of God, and these beliefs go way back, and basically they have a lot of strange manifestations going on. We've seen a lot of these things, like back to the Toronto blessing, and I'm just wondering, I just stay away from this stuff. I don't think I can evaluate whether people are saved or not who end up in these things. But I have read a lot of literature lately where people are concerned that some of the direction that's really underneath the stuff.
Lori, we're gonna jump in and answer much of what she's already said. And she brings up a phrase, a movement that she called the New Apostolic Reformation. That's something that's been going on for a while. And it's a movement that's out there that doesn't really have a formal structure to it. It's a loose association of various people who are claiming to be prophets and apostles in our day. So they are basically saying that we have been gifted with gifts far beyond what normal Christians would get as a part of the body of Christ. We have access to God in ways that others do not. We are bringing new revelation to the table. So we have this direct line to God. God is giving us new revelation. We, in turn, are passing that on to others. Many of them are claiming super healing powers. And all of it is a ruse, I think, that Satan is doing to pull people away from the once-for-all delivered faith. Jude speaks of that in his little letter. He says we need to contend for the faith. And it's interesting how Jude writes this letter. You know, he says, I was going to go down one path, but now based on things that are going on out there in the world, I think I need to go down another path. I think I need to talk about the importance of contending for the faith. And he describes it as the once and for all delivered faith. Yes. In other words, all revelation has already been given to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So there was this progression of revelation. It was given first to prophets of old, and that information was given to those prophets in various and sundry ways, through dreams, through visions, through burning bushes, through all of these sort of ways God imparted his word about Jesus to the people of old. And that's the story. That is the unfolding story of the Old Testament. It is the person and work of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus came on the scene. And so as the writer of Hebrews said, you know, that God has spoken to us in various ways, but now he is speaking to us through his son, Jesus. Jesus is God's final word to man. We need no other revelation than what's been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. And then God has sent his Spirit into the world, one, to convict the world wrong about sin. Why are we wrong about sin? What were we wrong about? The fact that the world did not believe in Jesus. So what is the Holy Spirit's job? It is to connect people to Jesus, to move us to believe in Jesus, and then take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them new and real in our hearts. So when the Holy Spirit is working inside of us, he's not giving us new revelation. He's simply informing our minds of the revelation that's already here in Christ. So anybody who says they have new revelation, that God has given them new revelation, that is a huge red flag. That is a huge warning sign. And my advice is turn and run.
Yeah.
Turn and run. Now, there are many people who are not going to turn and run. Why? Because the way these new apostolic apostles and prophets are delivering their message is very persuasive. And they're promising all sorts of things. And we can easily be swayed by those things that they are promising. It's the same reason people go to casinos. Why? Because there's a promise of riches. Maybe tonight my dice will turn up the right number. Maybe, you know, when I pull the lever, it's going to come up, you know, triple sevens, whatever it might be. Like, I know what all that is.
Well, you were just there.
But there's something, it's like, okay, I didn't win tonight, maybe tomorrow night. You keep going back. You keep going back. It's the same thing in a lot of these persuasive religious super gurus. They have almost this hypnotic spell that they cast over people in the sense that they're promising them all sorts of things. God wants you well. And so if you're not well right now, you just need to claim your wellness, and it will happen. And you think, well, if I can just muster up enough faith, if I can just tap into what they're saying, then, yeah, this disease will go away and all of this. And then wealth and riches and all of these sort of things. And so people get sucked in by their persuasiveness, by their promises. And you have to look and say, man, if you have Jesus, what more do you need? What more do you want? I mean, Jesus is going to be with you forever. When you received the gospel, when your heart responded to the gospel, guess who you received? Jesus. Jesus gave himself to you. He sent his Spirit to take up residence in you. That is where your contentment lies. The fact that you are with Jesus forever and Jesus is with you forever. Now, sometimes things are going to be good for you. You're going to feel good. Your health is going to be fantastic. You're going to be making money and you're going to feel comfortable in life. There will be other times where your health will go south. Your money will disappear. It'll be a struggle. But there's one thing that doesn't change. Jesus. He is there with you. And whether you're in plenty or whether you're in want, the secret of contentment is resting in Christ.
Yeah.
So don't let these, quote, super apostles, these super prophets who claim to have special revelation, a special connection to God, pull you away from your simple devotion to Jesus.
Yeah.
Paul warned about that. I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived, that you are going to be drawn away from that simple devotion to Christ. How's that going to happen? Through these so-called super apostles. And you listen to them and they say, you know, we're the anointed ones of God and don't touch God's anointed and we're special. If you say something against us, God is going to get you. And all of a sudden, you're starting to feel like a second-class citizen. Well, I'm just a little old me. I'm just, how can I argue against the man of God? Well, here's some truth for you. In 2 Peter or 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a part of that. You have equal access to God. God is equally given of himself to you. There is no super apostles, super prophets, never have been, never will be. Folks looked at Peter, they would bow down and worship. And Peter would say, get up, get off your knees. I'm just a person just like you. No worship goes to me. I'm just one of you. I was saved exactly the same way you were. God's grace reached into this dead heart of mine and gave me life. And then Jesus sent his Spirit to take up residence in me, same as you. We're together. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no male. There's no female. There's no slave or free. There's no Jew or Gentile. We're all one in Jesus, and we stand together as a royal priesthood. And God can use me in exactly the same way that God can use you.
Yeah.
So that's the defense against those super apostles. You're just claiming that because you think you're superior, but that's a lie. That is a lie from the pit. And if you're believing a lie about yourself, that you're some super apostle, some super prophet, I can guarantee you the message you're trying to deliver to me is nothing but a lie as well. Go fly a kite.
Yeah.
I'm standing on truth. I'm standing firm in the grace of God. I am resting in Jesus and Jesus alone. I am contending for the once for all delivered faith that has been revealed by the Holy Spirit concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, don't desecrate that kite. Hey, friends, keep in mind that we are streaming live video every day, so you can join us on our Facebook and YouTube channels. It might be fun to see what goes on inside the studio every day. Final question. This is from Tom in Menlo Park, California. Says, I'm slowly coming out of years of self-imposed legalism. Through your book, Bob, I am experiencing for the first time a Jesus relationship through grace and love. I appreciate you making the gospel simple and plain. I'm not quite there yet because it seems too simple. What's the catch? You say frequently we are under the new covenant and not under the old. We are no longer under the Mosaic law, now under the new covenant. Is it that simple? How do we take the whole Bible in context?
Well, the whole Bible is about Jesus. So everything in the old was pointing us forward to Jesus, even the law.
Yes.
So the law was a shadow. It's not the reality. The reality is found in Christ. So recognize that those Ten Commandments, those other statutes and ordinances, and that was all a part of the Mosaic Covenant, were simply shadows of Jesus Christ himself. So the Passover, that was a part. They were to celebrate the Passover. Well, Jesus is our Passover lamb. He is the one that turned aside the wrath of God. He's the one that enables us to experience life. So when you read about the Passover and the Old Covenant, you're reading about Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus said time and time again. You search the Bible in hopes that you will find eternal life. But this Bible, this Word, these Scriptures are about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So what was he referring to? He was referring to the Old Testament. He was referring to the Torah, the first five books, Genesis and Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Numbers. And he was referring to that, and he was referring to the prophets, and he was referring to the history books and to the wisdom books. And he was saying all of those, all of them combined, tell one singular story, the story of Christ.
Yeah.
These are the Scriptures that speak about me. He said, you know, if you believe Moses, you would believe me. So the Word of God is crying out from start to finish, trust Jesus.
Yes.
I like to think of the baptism of Jesus and the transfiguration of Jesus. At both, the voice from heaven said, this is my son, listen to him. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Listen to Jesus, trust him. You will see his life being lived out through you. It doesn't get any better than that.
Tom, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, again, our thanks to the many of you who stand with us every day, month by month, as a matter of fact, to keep the good news on the air and online. We hope you can continue to help us move forward. It's your gifts that make this ministry possible, of course. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And to say thanks for your help this month, we're going to send you our new CD series called Be a Voice. That's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Also, keep in mind, friends, that you can take Basic Gospel with you wherever you go if you have the Basic Gospel app. It's available, of course, in the App Store. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.